Gapo dia? Teknologi gapo yang mencorak hidup kita? Gapo sebaliknya? Gapo dia? Ikuti Gapo dia bagi membincangkan sedikit kisah di sebalik teknologi tercanggih masa kini, dibawakan oleh Oppo Malaysia.
Okay, terima kasih kerana bersama kita. Ini adalah Podcast Aman, sebahagian daripada rangkaian Podcast Aman. Rangkaian Podcast Aman ni adalah satu rangkaian di mana kita ada macam-macam podcast di dalam amans.my punya framework. Jadi kalau nak mengenali lebih lanjut, bolehlah lawati ataupun mendengar podcast-podcast seperti podcast Sekupang, ini ringgitnya, ataupun podcast Notepad, milik aku sendiri dan macam-macam lagi. Nama aku Yem, aku bersama.
Hi, Najwa here.
Okay, kita pun nak mengembangkan tentang isu Malaysia dan juga China. Kita mulakan dengan berita terbesar minggu ini. Okey, baiklah. Ada satu berita di mana Duta Malaysia ke China, Raja Datuk Nusyirwan Zainal Abidin, menyifatkan perkembangan hubungan Malaysia-China sebagai di luar jangkaan. Raja Nusyirwan berkata, diplomat lain pun mungkin tidak dapat menjangkakan bahawa hubungan dua hala China dan Malaysia yang sudah pun terjalin sejak 30 lalu mampu terus berkembang sehingga hari ini. Antara fakta yang boleh dikongsikan untuk menunjukkan Malaysia-China, hubungan Malaysia-China yang terus berkembang pesat adalah contohnya perdagangan bilateral yang mencatatkan sekitar $176 bilion ataupun sekitar RM800 bilion pada tahun 2021, sekaligus menjadikan Malaysia rakan dagangan ke-9 terbesar bagi China. So it's a big deal for Malaysia to be the 9th trading partner for China.
Orang yang sama berkata juga dia rasa terkejutlah mengetahui bahawa pada 2019 terdapat 3.1 juta rakyat China yang datang ke Malaysia sebagai pelancong selain jumlah pelaburan yang dicatatkan pada masa ini. Dia berkata kepada kumpulan media China CMG baru-baru ni. Dia cakap juga dia turut optimis dalam hubungan kedua-dua negara tersebut akan kukuh pada masa hadapan. Pertama, Malaysia dan China merupakan negara anggota Perkongsian Ekonomi Komprehensif Serantau iaitu RCEP yang menggabungkan ASEAN dan 5 negara lain dalam menjadi pasaran bersama yang paling besar di dunia. Kedua, kita akan melihat kepada peningkatan atau penambahbaikan perjanjian perdagangan bebas China, ASEAN CAFTA, dan juga mengukuhkan hubungan antara Malaysia, China dan ASEAN. Beliau juga berkata jika dilihat dari segi politik, Malaysia dan China telah menjalinkan perkongsian strategik komprehensif pada tahun 2013 dan ini adalah pencapaian yang amat signifikan. So basically dia cakap dia optimis lah hubungan Malaysia-China ni akan lebih kukuh pada beberapa tahun akan datang. Which is right?
Which is true. You see, when you talk about RCEP, Perkongsian Ekonomi Komprehensif Serantau, RCEP ni is a big deal because it's a free trade agreement between Asia-Pacific countries of Australia, Cambodia, China, Brunei, Indonesia, Japan, South Korea dan sebagainya lagi. The Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership is of course the tail-on effect from TTPAP, which is another bilateral trade agreement that failed because Donald Trump killed it. So everybody was involved except for US. Now, this is effective 1st January this year. The idea here is of course to push forward the Asia-Pacific trade between member countries of China, Japan, Indonesia, Australia, New Zealand, all this with Canada, but at the same time with also the other side of town, Mexico, Latin America dan sebagainya. The condition is that 60 days after the ratification by 10 ASEAN countries and 3 of 5 non-ASEAN signatories allows for the purpose of RCEP to be delivered, including to establish a comprehensive and high quality economic partnership that will facilitate the expansion of regional trade and regional investment to contribute to global economic growth and development. These are not lofty ideals. These are ideals that really, really all these countries really need. Now, we all know this. China is the big factory of the world. Tapi seperti mana yang kita bincang sebelum-sebelum ni, negara-negara lain memang ada ada intention untuk alihkan kuasa China sebagai kilang
pengeluar
dunia.
Betul-betul.
So kejap lagi kita ada nak cerita pasal iPhone 14 dekat India. But before this, episode sebelum ni, kita ada cerita pasal Vietnam dijadikan kilang ataupun pengeluar untuk MacBook, Apple Watch dan sebagainya. Di Indonesia dan juga Thailand, automakers like Honda, Toyota dah start making cars there because it's not just about being cheap, it's also about having being under control or ability for them to not have to deal with the Chinese government. So China has a big problem because the Chinese government is controlling everything, and because of that, there is a big concern from big organizations and big countries to deal with this kind of uncertainty. By government intervention. So China needs to come back stronger from this, but right now it's very difficult because Intel contohnya ataupun pembikin semiconductor terbesar di dunia, TSMC atau Taiwan Semiconductor Company, dia orang semua tak boleh buat, tak boleh kembangkan bisnes dekat China because kerajaan US block dorang. So all this is a big problem for China, and we need to know how we can move forward with China. Why is it important to be with China? Because other than China, Malaysia punya two biggest trading partner is the US and Singapore. It's never good to have one country to be handling all these kind of trade with us. Andai kata kita gaduh dengan one of these two countries, then how? So sama macam
kena ada plan A, plan B lah.
Absolutely. Ini bukan, you know, nikah, kahwin. You know, this is like you have to have multiple partners in order for you to diversify risk. So yes, having said that, all this is important. Now, here's a little tidbit. Aku ni pernah dinner dengan duta Malaysia ke China ni, Nur Syirwan ni. And at that point in time, dia bukan duta mana-mana negara, tapi dia pernah menjadi duta. Dia macam ni, Najwa. Dia jadi duta negara A, duta negara B, lepas tu dia balik ke home base di Wisma Putra dekat Putrajaya. During that time, I have met him once or twice. We had dinner. This guy is very forward thinking, and this guy is very, very intuitive in terms of what needs to be done to expand Malaysia's influence internationally. So masa kita dapat berita yang Datuk Nur Syirwan ni dihantar ke China sebagai duta besar, I am so happy because I know him. I don't know, I wouldn't say I know him personally, but I have met him and he seems to be clued in, and I'm sure that when he meets Chinese representative in China, in Beijing or in Shanghai or wherever, he can carry forward Malaysian interest there. And that's very important because personality duta tu sangat-sangat penting. So,
betul.
I'm very happy that Malaysia is going forward. The issue
dia
now,
macam
now is
bawa brand Malaysia ke China lah.
Yes.
Betul.
And tukang brand
dia,
ambassador ni,
yeah, dia keep on telling that dia optimistic, dia positif, dia looking forward tau. Dalam artikel tadi yang kita baca tu, dia sangat berfikiran ke hadapan lah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think these are very, very important things to have. Okay, kita akan rehat sebentar. Sekembali nanti kita akan pindah ke apa lagi berita penting untuk minggu ini.
Pandangan dan suara anda penting untuk didengari. Ingin memulakan podcast anda sendiri? Kami menyediakan package all-in-one untuk anda secara percuma untuk episod pertama. Ya, secara percuma. Tunggu apa lagi? Jom bina konten digital anda bersama Pusat Media Amans. Info lebih lanjut di us@amans.my.
Okay, kita teruskan lagi dengan podcast Aman bersama Najwa dan aku, Yim. Salah satu berita yang mungkin menarik perhatian ramai adalah tentang pembikinan iPhone 14. Seperti mana kita tahu, Apple akan mengumumkan iPhone 14 pada 8 September ini. Dan this is the world's worst kept secret. Everybody knows about the iPhone 14 that is going to be launched. The issue here is on where is it going to be built. Dan menurut laporan Reuters, dan juga beberapa laporan yang sekufu dengannya, including Bloomberg, Apple merancang untuk memulakan pengeluaran iPhone 14 di India sebagai alternatif susulan syarikat gergasi itu bergantung kepada China. See, this is directly in relation to what we talked about just now. Because Betul. China needs to grow its influence, but because of the Chinese government, the CCP is so dictatorial, which is by nature what a communist country is. All these companies, initially we had TSMC and then Intel, now we have Apple running away from there. Now, menurut laporan Bloomberg, keputusan itu dibuat selepas pertembungan pentadbiran China dengan Washington akibat sekatan pergerakan China yang mengganggu operasi pengeluarannya. Ingat, kita ni tahu bahawa China masih lagi under lockdown because diorang nak achieve zero COVID. That's fine. Itu diorang punya policy lah. But because of that policy, all these companies around the world has to make other plans. Dan laporan Bloomberg itu memetik sumber berkaitan dengan Apple bahawa mereka sedang bekerjasama dengan beberapa pembekal di India untuk meningkatkan pengeluaran dan memendekkan tempoh pembuatan yang biasanya dianggarkan sekitar 6 hingga 9 bulan. Nah, pelancaran model sebelum-sebelum ni memang menggunakan tempoh tu about 6 to 9 months. Dan yang pembekal
buat dekat
Apple,
China lah. Buat dekat China.
Now tak boleh dah. I mean they cannot. So now we know that Foxconn is the biggest factory for Apple in China and dia berpangkalan di Taiwan. Foxconn sedang mengkaji proses untuk menghantar all the chips, all the devices, all the besi-besi apa semua.
All the material.
Untuk material dekat Chennai. In selatan India. That's going to be a huge deal.
So pengeluaran iPhone 14 kali ini julung kali akan datang made in India dan dijangka siap pada akhir Oktober atau November. Syarikat itu memindahkan beberapa kawasan pengeluaran iPhone dari China ke pasaran lain termasuk India yang juga pasaran telefon pintar kedua terbesar di dunia. Dan dalam pada itu, Apple turut merancang untuk melaksanakan proses pemasangan tablet iPad di negara itu. Meaning, mereka akan pasang iPhone dengan iPad di negara India. Peranan India dan negara lain seperti Meksiko dan Vietnam semakin penting kepada pengeluar kontrak yang membekalkan jenama US Apple kerana mereka telah mencuba pelbagai pengeluaran negara pengeluaran selain daripada China. Minggu lalu, Nikkei melaporkan pembekal gergasi teknologi itu sedang berbincang untuk menghasilkan Apple Watch dan MacBook di Vietnam buat julung kalinya. Yang seperti you cakap lah tadi, diorang akan looking at Vietnam to produce MacBook and Apple Watch.
So now China is in trouble, very much in trouble, because for the longest of time, they have been relying on building US products in China. I'm not just talking about Apple. I'm talking about microchips, semiconductor, Intel dan sebagainya. As we have discussed in our previous episodes, companies like AT&S is one of the biggest players in the world when it comes to semiconductor. Diorang keluar daripada Chongqing dekat China. Diorang buat dekat Kulim, High Tech Park. Diorang akan invest about...
Pernah dengar.
Yep. And diorang akan hire all these thousands of workers in Malaysia. Blue-collared. They're not all engineers and all that. Blue-collared workers. High-skilled but blue-collared. And they are going to build more stuff in Malaysia. And remember, Malaysia... It's like secondary or tertiary option tau. They normally go to Vietnam or Indonesia or Thailand for better options. But they still want to leave China. So now China really needs to rethink about how they are going to move forward in their technology industry. This is not necessarily all bad. Because kalau kau tengok, Tim Marshall punya buku, The Geography or the Geopolitics of the World, China is still able to dominate the world market if you use the choice of building their own tech companies. So maybe this is the opportunity for China to actually grow their own tech companies, to grow their own businesses instead of relying that of US. Now, this is not necessarily a bad thing, but at the same time, ada timeline. Maknanya, diorang tak boleh nak sailang business Apple sekelip mata overnight. But if we know anything about China, this is a 5,000-year-old civilization. When they look at timeline concept, dia 10 years, 20 years is nothing for them. What is 10 years in a 5,000 civilization history? So I'm telling you, in the next 30 years, there's going to be an Apple coming out from China. I'm not talking about Apple, maybe buah lychee, a tech company called lychee or rambutan or whatever, longan. The issue here is China is going to be the world market and the dominator in terms of the world of tech. But for now, untuk masa sekarang, mungkin tak lagi. I don't know. What do you think, Najwa?
I think sekarang ni itulah, itu je dia punya usaha dia kena keluar daripada China sebab a few restriction. Itu saja yang I can think of. And which is
yeah.
Okay lah, meaning dorang ada few other choices juga, ada option. Kalau tak yeah, nanti ganggu operation kan? Sebab dorang benar, adalah tech manufacturer. They have to supply the demand.
Absolutely. The demand is insatiable and we all know that that is going to be the big problem for China moving forward. But supply chain is the issue. Ukraine war, Russia war is the issue. COVID lockdown in China is the issue. So it's going to be a lot of exciting events that is going to happen yeah, in China.
And I hope they will always choose Malaysia lah. Sebab, well, it's going to be good for our country.
It is. But the political risk is a big problem here in Malaysia. And I think because of our election that is going to come sometime soon, I think that's going to change it. Speaking of elections, ada berita tentang bajet ataupun belanjawan 2023. Kita akan kembali selepas ini.
Stay tuned.
Okay, cerita dia macam ni. Kamu seorang pengusaha kecil dan mikro. Kamu menjual barang macam-macam. Dan telah tiba masanya kamu membuat penampilan di media untuk menceritakan kisah kamu. Tapi isu dia sekarang, kamu takut. Tak tahu nak start kat mana. Nak cerita apa? Nak cakap dengan siapa? Ini semua normal problem. Di Pusat Media Amans, kami sediakan media training untuk pengusaha kecil macam korang. Wartawan-wartawan bertauliah dari Astro Awani, BFM Radio dan media masa lain sedia untuk memberikan latihan kepada kamu. Dengan hanya RM50 sahaja, kamu akan mendapat latihan media dari Real Life Reporters. Tanya kami di us@amans.my sekarang. Media training untuk semua di us@amans.my.
Okay, kita teruskan dengan segmen Teman Amans. Hari ini ada satu DM yang datang daripada IG. Ingat kalau korang kalau nak hantar soalan-soalan dekat IG ke soalan-soalan dekat Teman Amans, you can also ping us on our social media sites, either at Twitter Ibrahim Saninet ataupun Najwa 505.njwx ataupun
Instagram.
IG.
Dekat
Ibrahim Saninet ataupun Najwa. 505.njwx. Okay, soalan ini datang daripada saudari Hasanah yang menyatakan bahawa pendapat kita tentang belanjawan 2023, adakah ini akan memberikan gula-gula sempena election yang mendatang ini? Of course, this is a very good question and also a question that everybody is asking. How is this going to be impactful in terms of the budget for 2023? Dan kebetulan ada satu berita yang telah dikeluarkan oleh Berita Harian dan juga beberapa berita di negara ini bahawa experts are now saying that budget 2023 mungkin akan jadi belanjawan populis dan of course akan continue menjadi belanjawan terbesar menjelang PRU15. Dan belanjawan 2023 berkemungkinan besar menjadi belanjawan election ataupun belanjawan populis memandangkan pembentangannya diawalkan daripada 20 something Oktober, 28 Oktober dia diawalkan ke 7 September. Oktober. Dan beberapa penganalisis terutamanya daripada Putra Business School daripada UPM seperti Dr. Razman menyatakan bahawa pembentangan diawalkan memberikan petanda akan berlaku sesuatu selepas itu seperti kemungkinan PRU15 diadakan.
Sehubungan dengan itu, beliau turut berkata bajet kali ini berpotensi besar menjadi belanjawan populis yang memenuhi keperluan jangka pendek rakyat dan perniagaan. So dia cakap bajet 2023 ni dijangka menjadi bajet terbesar dalam jangkaan hasil yang tinggi. Berikutan jangkaan harga minyak yang lebih tinggi. Justeru kerajaan mempunyai banyak ruang untuk berbelanja, kata Dr. Azman kepada Berita Harian lah. Tapi dia pun ada cakap, dia cakap dia bimbang juga kemungkinan penyediaan bajet itu tidak mendapat maklum membalas secukupnya daripada rakyat dan perniagaan. So beliau berkata dengan pembentangan diawalkan daripada jadual, ia mungkin memberi kesan dalam mendapatkan maklum balas yang menyeluruh. Namun penyelarasan boleh dilakukan selepas pembentangan bajet sekiranya terdapat keperluan mendesak yang memerlukan belanjawan tambahan selepas itu. Setakat ini 30 cadangan diutarakan pada Majlis Konsultasi Bajet 2023 yang menyentuh aspek rakyat, perniagaan, ekonomi, kerajaan, selaras dengan tema memperkukuh pemulihan dan memudah cara pembaharuan ke arah kemampanan daya tahan ekonomi dari kesejahteraan keluarga Malaysia. Menurut ya. Kementerian Kewangan MOF juga cadangan itu adalah untuk meningkatkan pendapatan rakyat berpendapatan rendah, menyediakan peluang dan bantuan kepada golongan B40, warga emas dan golongan kurang upaya OKU, serta meningkatkan pembangunan modal insan dan tenaga mahir.
Yes, betul. The idea here is of course to think about these segments including B40, senior citizen, OKU, and then the two big sectors that I'm thinking of is education sector as well as health sector. Sebab yes, of course antara topik utama adalah untuk tangani isu peningkatan kos sara hidup, inflasi, pembangunan industri, pertanian, ada juga kesihatan awam which is a big problem, public healthcare, ada subsidi yang kena bersasar. Speaking of subsidi, inside podcast Aman's punya network on podcast Kupang, both Najwa and I talk at length about subsidi bersasar ini dan macam mana dia boleh meningkatkan kerjasama di antara sektor awam dengan swasta ataupun public private policy dan juga mensejahterakan keluarga Malaysia punya social structure. Dan MOF ada menjemput orang ramai untuk berkongsi pendapat dan idea dekat portal cadangan bajet 2023 baru je dilaunchkan, dan kerajaan mampu untuk menggunakan cadangan-cadangan itu dalam penyediaan bajet. However, we know for a fact that because of this being a populist budget, it goes without saying that it is going to be a very, very election-centric budget. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but they have to address one of the bigger issues, which is inflation. So, I personally think, this is me, ini aku tak ada maklumat lain, but I personally think that the moment they launch budget, I think the announcement of the election is going to come very, very soon. So, be ready for election to happen in this year alone. Maybe November, maybe even October, and certainly most probably in December. So October, November, December is the timeline for PRU. This is my thinking. Now, one thing that we need to note is, adakah korang dah sign up untuk menjadi pengundi?
Belum.
Belum. There you go. So you kena.
Macam mana nak sign?
Google lah. Korang ni Generation Z ni banyak boleh go.
Because when I reached 21, time tu pandemic, so I couldn't vote.
Yeah.
Kalau I vote pun, I kena balik Sabah tau. So, I don't want to go back to Sabah.
Well, now's the time lah to sign up. Sebab I think if you want partake in the election process, kalau korang ni mendengar, kalau korang ni macam Najwa ni belum dapat nak sign up sekarang. Alright? There is no mandatory sign up. So, maybe first thing that you can do is go to daftar SPR, check nama kau kat situ ataupun check IC kau kat situ, adakah kau dah menjadi pendaftar secara automatik. Alright. Sekarang ni kita rehat sebentar, sekembali nanti kita masuk ke segmen ramalan.
Podcast ini dibawakan oleh Aman's TV. Minat dunia tech, gadget dan smartphone? Jom ikuti Aman's hari ini. Kami berkongsi pelbagai video berkaitan review telefon, komputer, laptop, gaming, app dan lain-lain lagi. Kami juga bawakan tutorial dan wawancara bersama pelbagai personaliti di dalam dunia teknologi. Cari Aman's TV di YouTube, Facebook dan Instagram hari ini.
Okay, kita teruskan podcast Aman dengan segmen ramalan. Hari ini aku nak meramalkan election. Is it a snap election or is it a prolonged election? I honestly think that it is going to be a prolonged election, and I also think that this is going to be an election that is not going to give a clear winner. That is my ramalan. Why? Because UMNO has its strong voter base, PKR has its strong voter base, DAP also Bersatu. The issue here is, can a coalition get 112 out of 222? 112 maknanya majority. In the same coalition, I do not think that's the case. I think that UMNO will get certain number, maybe 70 plus. Pakatan Harapan maybe another 70 plus. But for now, nobody is going to win clear cut. And because of that, the moment ada kemenangan pada malam PRU 15, is going to be a hung parliament, and double dealings is going to happen, and we're going to see coalitions being built after the election. What it means is there is no clear winner and there is no clear prime ministerial candidate. Itu ramalan aku. What do you think, Najwa?
I have nothing to say. I have not much of knowledge in politics. So I don't really follow up with this politic matter.
Okay.
Even I vote pun I belum vote lagi, so I don't have anything to say.
Yeah, but, that's the point. I need to talk to people like you because there are millions of people under Undi 18. There are millions of people that is able to actually do this and understand better. What would be the two things yang you nak tahu tentang, or three things yang you nak tahu tentang politik Malaysia? Maybe there are politicians listening to this podcast. You can speak directly to them, Najwa.
Just be a good politician with real intention to make Malaysia better.
Sincerity. The thing about sincerity is you can tell, you know, as a person, mm-hmm. you tengok that the other person talk or do, you can see the sincerity, kan? The issue here is the sincerity is a big problem in Malaysia. Tak ramai yang kita boleh tahu, yang kita boleh cakap, oh, this politician is a sincere person. I don't know.
And I really hope like macam negara Canada, is it Canada, that diorang punya politician ataupun wakil rakyat is actually orang yang in that specific area. Contoh menteri pendidikan, dia background dia education lah. Menteri pertanian background dia petani lah, macam tu. Faham tak? So that they know exactly what they are doing, they are feeling the, diorang pun ambil rasa sebagai rakyat. Ya, macam tu je. Aside from that, tak ada kot. Yeah. Aside from that,
that's
tak
right.
Ada.
That's,
I mean, fine. Okay, honestly speaking, kalau I pun jadi politician, kalau I pun masuk macam dapat duit pocket, I mean, you know, duit masuk pocket, ambil lah. Tapi janganlah ambil keterlaluan. Faham tak? Ambil setakat untuk keperluan anda. Tapi fikirlah orang lain yang dekat belakang tu. Itu je. I know I won't be politician one day. I know.
Bagus. Alright, itu sahaja segmen ramalan. Kita akan rehat sebentar. Nanti kita akan masuk ke segmen baik buruk.
Pandangan dan suara anda penting untuk didengari. Ingin memulakan podcast anda sendiri? Kami menyediakan package all-in-one untuk anda secara percuma untuk episod pertama. Ya, secara percuma. Tunggu apa lagi? Jom bina konten digital anda bersama Pusat Media Amans. Info lebih lanjut di us@amans.my.
Okay, kita teruskan dengan segmen baik buruk. Untuk aku, baik adalah Menteri Pengangkutan Wika Siong. Dia umum tambang percuma untuk OKU continue selama sebulan ke 30 September. And I think this is very important because at the end of the day, if OKU cannot travel, it's very difficult. That's baik. Buruk, ada berita yang...
Jolo, dilihat.
Cerita sikit.
Jolo dilihat bersembunyi di taman tema Disneyland dekat China.
Imagine.
Jolo ni kalau korang tahulah, dia terbabit dalam skandal 1MDB. So sekarang ni dia didakwa bersembunyi di Disneyland Shanghai, China. You know, having party, tengok telefon, jalan-jalan lah. Like leisure time. So menurut laporan Malaysia Kini, perkara itu didedahkan penulis bersama buku Billion Dollar Whale, The Man Who Fooled Wall Street, Hollywood and the World, Bradley Hope, menerusi episod pertama program di mana Jolo yang disiarkan di aplikasi YouTube hari ini. Korang pergi YouTube, korang cari Jolo, mesti keluar punya.
Yes. Now of course Tom Wright dengan Bradley Hope adalah wartawan-wartawan, bekas wartawan Wall Street Journal, dan aku dah pun interview diorang berkali-kali, including that of Tom Wright, and these people have been on Jolo's case for the longest of time, and they know more than what is needed in terms of how to reveal Jolo. So Tom Wright, kalau korang nak tahu lebih lanjut, boleh follow dekat Twitter dia. And Tom Wright dah macam-macam, dia dah share foto itulah, foto inilah. Dan Bradley Hope, rakan sekufu Tom Wright, berkata kali terakhir Jolo dilihat pada tahun 2019, namun situasi Jolo itu tidak diketahui since COVID-19 melanda. Kena ingat, pada 4 Disember 2018, Mahkamah Magistrate KL ada keluar warrant tangkap untuk Jolo untuk membantu dalam siasatan 1MDB dan sejak itu pelbagai usaha dilakukan oleh pihak berkuasa Malaysia untuk bawa Jolo pulang. That is the bad of what I think lah for this week.
Ya, yeah, lepas tu dia, orang cakap lah, dia ni dah kahwin dan ada dua anak. So orang cakap
this
dia,
guy's living it up. Teruk man. Dia dah habis.
Yes, I know. Lepas tu diorang nampak dia dekat Victoria's Secret in China. And then dia berlegar-legar lah dekat China, Taiwan and Thailand. Tapi selepas kes Najib ditahan baru-baru ni, dia punya kawasan tu semakin mengecil. Dia dekat China aje. So ada empat bandaraya yang dia tidak kuas sering meluangkan masa. So apa-apa pun,
yeah. Get him back and make him face trial. That's it. That's the only thing. Okay.
Tapi kenapa ini... Kenapa dia boleh terlepas? Kenapa? Kenapa dia boleh terlepas?
The only answer I can have is a bunch of conspiracy theories. Sebab this guy, because dia dah ambil billions of dollars from rakyat Malaysia, he actually owns a few political masters in China and in Malaysia and perhaps in other countries as well. Now's a good time to actually remind everybody, if you want to know more about Jolo, read Tom Wright dengan Bradley Hope punya buku, Billion Dollar Whale. It's still there in many bookstores in the country, including at Kinokuniya, at Popular Bookstore dan sebagainya.
Book
in fact, I think I saw one. Baru nak cakap. I think I saw the book being sold at Book Access. So just read the book. It's so fascinating to read this kind of shit.
You because have those
people
book?
Tend to ada of course. In fact, mine is actually autographed by Tom Wright. Best tak?
Best. Boleh.
Okay, sekian saja untuk podcast Aman episode kali ini. Jika anda terlepas mendengar mana-mana bahagian podcast ini ataupun nak dengar podcast kita yang sebelum ini, just find podcast Aman AMANZ di mana-mana korang mendapatkan podcast korang. Okay, kalau nak hantar soalan, pandangan, pendapat dan kritikan, silalah reach out to us at ibrahimsadinet ataupun 505.njwx either on Twitter or on Instagram. Sekian saja untuk episod kali ini. Catch you in the next one.
Bye.
Gapo dia? Teknologi gapo yang mencorak hidup kita? Gapo sebaliknya? Gapo dia? Ikuti Gapo dia bagi membincangkan sebersedikit kisah di sebalik teknologi tercanggih masa kini, dibawakan oleh Oppo Malaysia.